WNST, Taos in Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into a weekend. It's a spring weekend. It's that sort of tender weekend between the Derby and the Preakness. We call it Mother's Day weekend. The Orioles call it, oh, they're coming back to town since 1979. And of course, the Ravens have a schedule this year, which will take them west and east and west and east and London and west and back and forth and holidays and more holidays. Hey, we wanted Lamar Jackson signed. You want to be a relevant football team, right, Luke? Well, schedule and Orioles baseball this weekend. Nothing on your mind, right?
Right. And don't forget about the NBA playoffs and everything else going on. It's one of those times of year where it's not necessarily anything major, one specific entity. Of course, though, as you mentioned, Preakness next week, but there's a lot going on. And especially when the NFL has made this schedule release thing into being, at this point, almost like a week-long event where, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's nauseating at this point when we're just waiting for games to trickle out. Just like put the schedule out. We know all the opponents. We want to find out when and where and what time and
You
how many
never really get
primetime
when and what
games. And
time,
we
right? I
know the
mean,
Ravens are going back to London.
dude, I'm a guy who does road trips, right? So like when and what time these flex games after Thanksgiving, like you still don't really know what you're holding a ticket for.
Yeah, and it's not really even after Thanksgiving. It's flex games can start as early as October. I mean, not that there are as many early in the season, but it's just a lot. And I get it. The NFL has never, especially in the modern day, does not worry about excess whatsoever. But it just gets to a point where it's all right. Put out the schedule. Just put it out. We'll talk about it. Great. We know they're kicking off the season against Houston on September 10th, and they go to Cincinnati in week two, and they got all these road games early in the season. But you just get to a point where it's just like, uncle, that's enough. But it's exciting, and certainly, as you mentioned, the Orioles. You get into October, and you start to look at what the schedule is, and you start to see how might that mesh with perhaps playoff baseball being played in Baltimore. So certainly exciting. And I think the thing that jumps out the most about this schedule, and we knew this already, but it was only reinforced with knowing officially they're going to London to take on the Titans on October 15th, that it's quite a bit of travel in this schedule. From a strength of schedule and winning percentage based off last year, which I don't put a lot of stock in because we know how quickly the NFL changes. It's not as though it's that devastating of a slate of opponents, but they do have travel in this. They go to London, they go to the West Coast multiple times. They have primetime road games. So there is some challenge involved there. And we know that the AFC is going to be absolutely loaded. So from that standpoint, definitely look at some segments of this schedule and say, yeah, that could be a big challenge for John Harbaugh's team.
Well, then we knew that going in, right? And we didn't know how it was all going to play out. We didn't know whether one of the LA, San Francisco games might have been Mexico. It's not going to be. They're not playing in Mexico. Germany was kind of beckoning England. We haven't been over there since 17. And I told everybody last year, I told you last year, I'm like, I think one of Dick Cass's last things he ever said to me before he threw me out illicitly was that we're not playing in Europe this year. That was last year. They know way ahead of time. They knew sort of ahead of time they were going to be playing in England. There were six teams are going to play there now. You get a one in six shot of playing there. You haven't played there in 6 years. You're going to play there soon, right? So I can't go to London. I mean, the Orioles are going to be in the playoffs that weekend. Luke, you know that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of where I am at this point. And I'll say this much. And look, when we went in 2017, you and I talked about this a lot. It was a fun trip. Everyone that was on our trip had a fun time until the game started. But I do look at this and say, you know what? You give up a trip to Nashville to go to London again. Yeah, that's a long flight, all that. That is one of those where, okay, it's one thing if it's Jacksonville, but Nashville and knowing how fun that city can be, a little disappointing on that front. But yeah, I think at this point, like you said, it's 6 years ago. The team's completely different now. All of those things. I mean, you'd like to think they're much better prepared to handle it this time around. Whatever tricked them up last time, they'll certainly try to remedy. I did find it interesting that they do not have their bye week after London, as was the case in 2017. And that was something that was talked about at that point. So I found that to be interesting. In fact, that's their latest bye week the Ravens have had since 2001. I mean, it's December until the bye. So it can be good as far as freshening a team up for a playoff push, or it could be bad if you have a big run of early season injuries and you're looking at the schedule and saying there isn't a break until the first week of December. So, it's like it always is. The schedule, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You can look at the things you like about it, and the critics will really dwell on the challenging aspects of it. But, I think this schedule sets up for them to try to get off to a really nice start and, try to get some momentum. But it is a challenge from a standpoint of you look at the first three AFC North games all on the road. September 17th at Cincinnati, October 1st at Cleveland, and then Pittsburgh the following week. So, that is a challenging run, and you've got Indianapolis mixed in there, which should help at home. But, definitely, you look at that from a travel standpoint, there's definitely some challenges baked into this 2023 schedule.
I looked at it too, and I thought these AFC North road games, kind of an amazing sort of way to begin the season. That, yeah, you win two out of three of them, you win three out of three, you lose all three of them. Things can really change dramatically in the beginning of the season based on you're playing those teams and you're playing them all on the road. And I don't, the schedule's not great, right? I mean, they have 4 6-hour flights now, right? This year, like they are really a back and forth Arizona, LA, San Francisco holidays, all of that stuff. I don't think this is a pleasant schedule by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, if you look at it in terms of winning percentage from last year, it's actually fairly, a little bit on the easier side. But again, you mix in the travel. I mentioned they don't have the bye week after the trip to London. They've got Detroit coming in, and this isn't the same old Lions, right? I mean, the Lions are going to be a very popular playoff pick. I mean, we saw what kind of momentum they built at the end of last year. That's something to keep in mind there in terms of another game that I think will be sneaky tough on the schedule. So again, I think it does help that, frankly, they play the AFC South, and the AFC South, other than Jacksonville, does not look good right now whatsoever. But that aside, the travel is
Yeah, Jacksonville
always a
didn't look good in
challenge.
London till we got there.
And they ended up being remember, they were in the AFC Championship that year. So you never know. Again, that's why I know we all do it, and you'll probably ask me at some point, or I know other people certainly ask me based on looking at the schedule what I think the record's going to be. And it's just like, what's the injury
Tell me if
situation at
Lamar's
that point in
playing.
time?
Tell me if Lamar's going to be playing on Christmas night in Santa Clara. If he is, then they're probably having a pretty good season. I mean, I'm literally, I mean, and we say, well, how valuable is he? Well, they gave him $52 million a year, and if he doesn't play, they can't win. We learned that last year. And everybody can say, well, Tyler Huntley was on the goal line. They weren't winning the Super Bowl. I mean, they might have upset Cincinnati. By the way, Lucas here. We're going to get into the Pittsburgh Pirates. Lucas, indulge me because it's a weekend and I have Maryland Lottery scratch-off tickets and I'm going to be giving away the classics at State Fair this week. We're doing a bye week next because of the Preakness. I just didn't want to get into doing a crab cake tour around the Preakness. We're going to be at Fadley's on Wednesday, better than a crab cake tour. We're doing the crab races. And I know you're having a hard time believing this, Luke, but they've made me a crab jockey. I don't know what it entails, but I'm going to be there Wednesday at noon. We're going to be at Lexington Market at Fadley's, a 35-year tradition now brought back to life by our friends at Fadley's, the crab races. We'll have some celebrities down there. I'm not one of them, but they're going to get some real celebrities Wednesday at noon. Brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Our friends at Window Nation, also 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 5 years, 0% financing. I'm wearing the shirt. I am not a certified master installer. I just play one on the internet. Luke, we got Orioles. I got crab cake tours. We're going to be at the local in Falston on the 23rd. That's a Tuesday. I mean, award-winning restaurant, Restaurant Association of Maryland Chef of the Year, all of that will be there on Tuesday afternoon, the 23rd. So JT the Brick released this about 3 days ago, and I thought this was a good conversation piece for the schedule. He said these are the things he looks for. And I thought, I was always looking for where's the road trips? What are we playing? I did road trips for 26 years or whatever, 24 years, whatever it was. JT the Brick's list is this. Here's what I look for. Bye week, early or late. We got a late one. Outdoor cold weather games. Do you look at those and say, we're playing Cleveland late. We're playing Cincinnati. No, we're playing all of them in the beginning. We're playing in LA. We're playing in Jacksonville. We're playing in San Francisco late in the year. They will not play a snow game unless it's here, right? You can just look at that and see that. So, well, maybe they'll have to go to Buffalo or Kansas City in the playoffs. You should hope that to have those kinds of problems. The next thing JT the Brick says he looks for is primetime games. We have some primetime games, Luke.
Yeah, four primetime games and five if you want to count the trip to London. It's not, obviously, it's the morning, but it's a nationally televised game, obviously a high-profile game. So
prime if you like breakfast. It
yeah,
is.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to do brunch, I mean, absolutely. That always helps. But, you know, you look at that and the one – and as you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, we know this could change, right? I mean, some of these games that are primetime games may no longer be, or some other games that are 1 o'clock may be, you know, that December 31st game against Miami. Who knows? That could change something along those lines. But, you know, you look at it and, you know, you have four primetime games, only one at home. You know, it's a Thursday night game against Cincinnati, which is on the heels of a Cleveland Sunday home game. So two division games in 5 days. That's always a challenge. You know,
Lamar
we'll
better be healthy that
week.
This year. You know, if Lamar's going to break his pinky winky toe for a week, it better not be that week. That's a bad week, right?
Right. I mean, they need to have Lamar on the field. There's no question about that. I mean, you and I could debate and disagree about a lot of elements of the Lamar Jackson contract discussion and all of that. But yeah, he's got to stay on the field. There's no question.
They have a better chance to win with him than without him.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even the late. I mentioned this in my schedule breakdown at BaltimorePositive.com. He's missed four of the last five games against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, that's kind of where they've been right now. I mean, that's hurt the rivalry, quite frankly. I mean, even though they played that good Week 17 game last year in Baltimore and Kenny Pickett broke the Ravens' hearts and all that, the rivalry's absolutely been hurt by Lamar not being on the field for so many of those games. So that's important. But you mentioned primetime. Thursday night game against Cincinnati, home. Others on the road. We haven't even mentioned a Christmas night game out in San Francisco. Monday Night Football on ABC, mind you, too. So a big one there, but boy, that's a heck of a challenge. I mean, the 49ers, I assume they'll figure out their quarterback situation by then, but even the years that they don't, they're still a supremely talented team. So big challenge there at Jacksonville. Jaguars have expectations. I think it feels like there's some grease for some excitement down there. Last year, or based off of what happened last year,
I bet when we get there, there'll be a competitive team. I bet when you get there, they're going to be a plus team. They're going to be 7-5, 8-4. They're going to be decent by the time you get there in December. That's my prediction.
Well, they play them what? It's week 15. I mean, it'll be, you know, they're going to win that division, barring something weird. I mean, the other three teams are terrible. Does anyone think Indianapolis is going to be any good? Does anyone think Houston's going to be any good? I don't know. I mean, the Tennessee, they feel like a team that has really fallen off. Look at what happened to them the second half of last year. So, you know, I think that's going to be a challenging game because I think the Jaguars are going to be a playoff team. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be, you know, I don't know if they're going to be fighting for the number one seed kind of good. I'm not ready to go there, but that's going to be a tough one. So you have those two, Jacksonville on the 17th and then San Francisco on Christmas Day, you know, that primetime game, back to back. Primetime road games. I mean, that's tough. Weather won't be an issue. As you mentioned, December, I mean, really the only interesting December element for the Ravens is, I guess, the Miami Dolphins come into town on New Year's Eve and remembering the shootout from last year, but thinking, okay, what will the weather be like and how will that impact the Dolphins? So,
well, at least Lamar won't be playing for the Dolphins.
Yeah, exactly. So
I've seen enough of those memes.
But yeah, I mean, you look at these primetime games, and I mean, it's, you know, it's gonna be a challenge as far as three of them being on the road. The Chargers, Thanksgiving weekend, you know, they go out to L.A. first time at SoFi Stadium and playing a Chargers team that, on paper, every year makes you think, oh, are they gonna be good or could they be really good? So, or
I have a prediction. When we get there, there won't be any Chargers fans. That's my prediction.
Yeah. I think that will be of the Ravens road games. That feels like that will be the best traveled game because Christmas
see this? You're not reading JT the Bricks. His next thing is best road trip. You just walked into it. I agree with you. I think the LA is the best road trip this year because we ain't never played there before. Well, we played the Rams at the Coliseum, but we haven't played it at the new stadium.
Right. You have that element. I mean, I think people otherwise would have liked to have gone out to see the 49ers, but it's Christmas night. I mean, that's gonna be a tough sell for most people to travel and be away from their families for the holiday. But yeah, I think, you know, you look at that, it's there are definitely tough stretches. I mean, you look at the end of the season, they play the Rams December 10th. The Rams are gonna be awful. You know, yes, I get it, they're a year removed from winning a Super Bowl, but just look at that roster, it's gutted. I think they're going to be one of the worst teams in football at this point. So you better win that game coming off your bye week, because after that, you have Jacksonville, you have San Francisco, you have the Dolphins in Baltimore, and then you play Pittsburgh the final week of the season, whether it's going to be a Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, or Saturday game, because it's, you know, it's open as far as the schedule goes. But, you know, if Kenny Pickett takes a step forward, the Steelers become a much more interesting team. So, you know, they weren't bad last year, even with moving on from the Ben Roethlisberger era. So it's definitely a challenging finish to the season as well. So again, there are parts of this schedule that aren't a problem. And you look at it and say, okay, AFC South teams, check, no big deal there. And you know, you're playing your six division games, et cetera, but you do look at some of these stretches and you say, yeah, they better be healthy at that point in time. They better not be going through a rash of injuries at that specific stretch, because things could be much more challenging for them. But yeah, you look at the primetime games, and including the London game, 4 out of 5 of those on the road, if I'm going to lump that in there with the 4 primetime games. So definitely the schedule makers didn't do them any favors in that regard. But as we've said, let it play out. Flex scheduling can certainly change things a lot as we get to November and December.
17 football games now online. You can find it all at BaltimorePositive.com. Luke, we're doing a great job of getting the schedule out, and leaks and buys and back-to-back road games and opener against the Houston Texans. Good news is they, you know, barring any weird preseason injuries, and we had a couple of those a couple of years ago, if they come full tack week one, They have a game. They should be a 10-point favorite at home. They're going to be playing the Houston Texans at home to start the season. Preseason, by the way, Philadelphia, Washington, and Tampa. I had not really seen the preseason schedule. They're playing a Monday night preseason game. Just, you know, and we're now at the point where the preseason, Lamar won't, the first time Lamar walks on the field will be against the Texans. We've changed the whole paradigm of what the preseason is, right?
It sure feels that way. I mean, I think what we saw 2 years ago, you know, with all the injuries and obviously Dobbins going down, and how just crushing that was for them, you know, considering they were playing one series in that final preseason game, the starters talking. So I would assume John Harbaugh will approach it the same way this year. I mean, you never really know for sure, but certainly would not expect to see any real starters of real consequence other than, you know, maybe the rookies, you know, maybe the second year guys, you know, maybe whoever's going to be battling for that left guard spot, you'll see them, but you're not going to see most of the starters, at least based off what we saw last year. But you mentioned it. I mean, Houston week one, rookie head coach, potentially a rookie quarterback making his first NFL start, and it'll be on the road. Doesn't set up any better than that. I mean, if you don't win that game, especially knowing the run of road games you have after that for the next 5 on the road, then you're kind of wondering what's going on.
You better be 1-0. You better be 1-0 September 11th. Right.
Yeah. And I even saw, you even mentioned it. I mean, I can't remember what I saw the exact line was, but I saw multiple sports books mention that the Ravens were the heaviest week one favorite. And makes sense, right? They're playing at home. We know John Harbaugh and the Ravens typically have been exceptional when they have extra time to prepare. They've been really good in week ones. And you've got a Houston team that's starting over, right? I mean, like I said, rookie head coach, rookie quarterback who may or may not be starting week one. You get the point. If you don't win that game, then kind of all bets are off, and you start to wonder, you know, how good you are, at least early in the season. I mean, stranger things have happened, so it's any given Sunday. But of all the games on the schedule, you kind of look at that one, and I would say probably the Rams late in the season, based on what you think the Rams are going to be this year. Those are the games you look to and say, better win those. I mean, there are no excuses there. You're playing at home against teams that look pretty darn bad on paper. Better handle your business there.
All right, pretty darn bad on paper. I would say the Pittsburgh Pirates look pretty darn bad on paper in the beginning of the year, and the Orioles look pretty okay on paper. It's turned out to be interesting, certainly for the Pirates, when they start seeing quality teams. A reminder, the Orioles just took 2 out of 3 from the number one team in baseball. So this is full-time baseball. I mean, I don't know where the next Raven piece of news comes, or when Lamar shows up and Ewan Zrebeck and those guys are out there counting heads during OTAs and mini camps and whatnot. But can we fully say now that we have a football schedule here, it's baseball season now? I mean, like, full on, the 1979 world champions are coming to town, Luke. I don't know if you know that.
They are. They are. Are we going to hear the whistle? Are we going to hear that song? Hopefully not. But I mean, you just said it. I think what was just so encouraging, and yes, it's baseball. It's been baseball season. That schedule release, great. Like, I'll give that an hour, right? And we're talking about it, and now it's great because you had the context of knowing when they're going to play these games and all of that. But it's been a fun baseball season, and it's amazing, Nestor. I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it. I talked about this with Dennis the other day as well. But you have so many people that either have not really been baseball fans, and we've talked about how the Orioles lost a generation, essentially, you know, people slightly younger than me probably, you know, just lost them, right? And maybe they got into it for 5 minutes during the Buck Showalter era, but so you have that. You have so many people who have been baseball fans at different points in their life, but over the last 5 years, they got back into it a little bit last year. Let's give the 22 team some credit, the way they played over the second half of last season. But so many people that I either run into in person or I encounter on social media just saying that they're watching baseball again. I've mentioned my high school buddies that we have a text chain that those guys are talking about baseball every night. And I can tell you, Nestor, in past years, there would not be a mention of the Orioles for weeks, if not months at a time. And now it's every night there are at least a few guys watching the game. It's fun baseball. And I think what was so encouraging about the last week, and we mentioned it earlier this week when the Orioles are coming off the tough series loss in Atlanta, they lose Monday night against Tampa Bay. It's the first time they lose a series opener all year. And you're thinking, all right, you know, they're 1-3 against the Braves and the Rays, two top teams in baseball. Is this starting to look like what happened to the Pirates that you just mentioned? The Pirates got off to a great start, and then, well, you've seen what's happened to them since then, even though they're still, you know, still above 500, but certainly a different tone that you take with that team. But you're starting to say, okay, you know, the skeptics are coming out of the woodwork. They're being exposed now. This is what happens when you're facing tougher competition. And they get off the mat and they take two out of three from the Rays. You know, they hand the Rays back-to-back losses, which has only happened, I think, three times all year for Tampa Bay. So, you know, really a nice, encouraging stretch. And look, I get it. 3-3 against the Braves and the Rays. That's, you're not throwing a parade over anything you do in May. Let's be clear about that for any team. But for them to do that and to, off the heels of losing the last two in Atlanta and then losing the opener against Tampa, you know, it would have been easy for the Orioles to, you know, lose that series and, you know, 2-4, 1-5, whatever it is. And doesn't mean the season's over or anything to panic over, but you see the moxie, you know, you see the confidence that this team has, and they didn't really swing the bats all that well over that stretch. Mind you, going up against elite pitching staffs, but they pitched well themselves and they played good defense and they did what they needed to do. And they got just enough offense to get the job done. So, for me, just a really encouraging six-game stretch, even though it's 3-3, and you know, again, I'm not saying to get ready for the parade, but it just, they did what you want a good team to do, right? They've handled the teams that are inferior to them, and they held
10 games over 500 against the bad teams, 500 against the good teams. Exactly. You win a lot of games. You win a lot of games,
and that's not just baseball. I mean, that's the Ravens are the same way, right?
The Ravens are going to pad their schedule by beating Houston.
Right. You beat the teams that are lesser than you, you know, the lesser teams, the teams that are inferior to you, and then go 500 against the teams that are above 500. If you do that, that generally, in any sport, that's generally going to translate to being a postseason team.
Was it 7-1 at home, 4-4 on the road, right? In the NFL.
Yeah,
that was the old.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. And look, it's a simplistic way of looking at it. And it's easier said than done because, you know, every team, especially in baseball, you don't make any assumptions. And you know that ultimately, yeah, at some point the Orioles are going to lose some series against some bad teams. That happens over 162. But, you know, you just look at how they've played. I mean, 11-5 at home, 13-8 on the road. You know, they hasn't been easy for them. I think they've played three games all year that have been decided by more than four runs. So does speak to the strain they've put on the bullpen. But I will say that's A lot of teams. Go look at the bullpen innings across baseball, and there are a lot of teams, a lot of good teams even, that rely on their bullpen a lot. The Rays being one of them. So that there's an element to that as far as the curiosity of how that's going to play out in the long run. But you know, when you see what they've done on the back end of their bullpen, and but Bautista's been shaky of late. Let's call it what it is. He's been quite shaky for a few weeks now, even when he's gotten the results. But Yennier Cano continuing to do what he's done, and other guys in that, you know, Danny Coulomb and Brian Baker, and guys that have stepped up and kind of given them innings and performances that are kind of bigger than you expect them to be when you look at their profile. It adds up to a team that 24-13, playing the Pirates now. They'll have the Angels then to wrap up this homestand, and we'll see Shohei Ohtani. We'll talk more about that in a couple days, but it's exciting. This is a fun team. This is a good team. Are they great? I don't know yet, but they're certainly flashing a lot of promising signs that their strong start is not solely a product of a soft schedule in April, which it was a soft schedule in April. But again, this stretch that they just had against Atlanta and the Rays, really like to see it. I mean, that was encouraging to me, especially when that stretch didn't start out the greatest after dropping the series in Atlanta. So, you know, take care of business against the Pirates over the weekend, and you know, do what you should do against a team that started out very strong, but since then has been pretty awful. You know what? Lost 9 of their last 10, I know, going into a Friday night. So, I mean, it's go time. You know, this is another chance now to pad that schedule a little more. You're not playing a team that necessarily is, you know, well, firing on all cylinders right now. Didn't have high expectations to begin with. So, add some wins, win a series, and see what Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani and the Angels have in store for you when they arrive on Monday.
Something magic happens. I think Shohei Ohtani's going to be pitching on Monday night. John Waite's playing down at Guinness on Monday night, so I'm going to be doing that. I am going to go see Shohei play next week. Dennis Colazzo's bought tickets for next week. It's true. He pulled out his credit card. So we are going to be talking some Oriole baseball next week, Preakness next week. Lucas around all week, and I'm doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour at State Fair on Friday. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. We're going to be at the local in Fallston on the 23rd. I'm going to be here all next week. Tell you what, this Oriole thing's got me not just watching games every day, Luke. And I poured out my soul to Seth Elkin, who is a Pittsburgh Pirates fan, in the segment earlier this week. So I got all my Pirate, Burt Blylevin, Kenta Colvey, Omar Moreno, and his wife. I got all of that angst, Rennie Stennett. I got it all out of me. And the best part for you is that you were born late. That's good. I was born early enough that I remember 79. Your mommy and daddy did you a favor that you don't remember 1979. Going to get even for it this weekend. Going to get even again probably at the end of the season. You beat the Pittsburgh Steelers and knock them out of the playoffs. We have schedules. We have Orioles. We have racing. We have springtime. And we have Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to your mom, your sister who's a mom, your mama's mama, everybody's mama. It's Mother's Day this weekend. So go out, see Anita Baker. Do something good. We have Bill Weidel from CFG Bank talking about all things CFG Bank Arena this weekend. If there's any breaking news, you get it first on the WNST Tech Service. It is all brought to you by Coons Baltimore Ford. Dennis will be here on Sunday morning getting you ready for church, for football, for fishing, for activities, for Mother's Day, all that good stuff. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.